A Woman with Hollow Eyes, Episode 1.
Hello, heroes, and welcome to A Woman with Hollow Eyes preview stream, where we're going to be showing off for, I believe, the first time, Invisible Sun's development mode. Now, for those who don't know, who might be just joining us because I have been tweeting about it nonstop, A Woman with Hollow Eyes is OneShot's newest campaign project where we're going to be playing Monte Cook Games' Invisible Sun role-playing game based on one of the streams that we have here in our archive that you can check out over on our YouTube page. It is a surreal fantasy game, and we're going to have a lot of fun with it.
Yes, we are. I'm really excited to see how this works. So, you know, Invisible Sun is a game of surreal fantasy. You should definitely check out the Kickstarter page for A Woman with Hollow Eyes to learn more about Invisible Sun and what we're specifically really excited to kind of create this shared storytelling experience, not only with everybody at the table, but with the audience in a way that is, you know, learns from Dungeon Dome, but will definitely be introducing some really cool, weird new elements. So we're really excited for that. But, you know, Invisible Sun as a game isn't even out yet, right? So it's coming out in, you know, February to backers of the Kickstarter and probably those who pre-order it, as it is still pre-orderable right now.
Yeah, you can get on that.
But yeah, so it won't be hitting stores till a little after that. And so we have access to kind of the vague materials, but one of its big selling points is that it has all these bits and bobs and really cool character sheets, and it's got like a sculptured hand that will hold these sooth deck cards. And so even though we don't have the black cube, there's a mode of play that doesn't require any of that, that's really built for those times when you're in a coffee shop or you think of a really cool idea for something your character wants to do that's really more about them or a flashback, and it doesn't need to involve the whole party. And so all you need to play is something we already have. So yay. It's called the Sooth Deck. So it's this big, beautiful, weird, strange box that has some red foil with mysterious sigils on it. And then when you open it up, so let's get this gorgeous thing going. So the cards are all circular. They come in this weird, fun little box. And we're going to be playing some development mode sessions. So you don't play with dice. You don't play with even your character sheets nearby. And you kind of use the divinatory functions of these Sooth Deck cards to narrate what challenges come into play or how you overcome a challenge. So we're going to use these kind of like a tarot deck today. So one thing we knew we definitely wanted to explore was, for those of you who have checked out the first session, Calvin, maybe you can introduce your characters for those who are just tuning in, but Calvin is a recent awakened person from Shadow, the mundane world all around us here at the table, and has discovered the magical world of the actuality, of Saturnine, of being a magic user called Avizsla, of strange, surreal happenings and cool, fancy bohemian parties by nerds, okay? That's the kind of world he's just stepped into. But we kind of wanted to explore how did Calvin wake up since it was so recent for him. So do you want to introduce Calvin for us?
Yeah, so Calvin is somebody who's probably in his mid-20s and went to art school, and that was a mistake because it gave him a lot of debt and not a lot of career prospects. And he's been struggling with depression for the past couple of years, so he's recently like switched to new depression medication right before he exited this world and entered the actuality. Was going through a lot of weird stuff, which you can actually find out more information about that in the audio diaries that we have. If you guys manage to unlock more audio diaries, you'll hear more about Calvin's story. I know there are a lot of people out there who are very concerned as to whether or not Calvin got to finish Voltron. I can almost guarantee that he didn't, because Voltron's not over right now. But he was sort of in a rough place in life in general before he woke up to this magical world. I mean, he never felt a really good connection with the real world, and I think this is probably going to be a good switch for him. I mean, apart from the spiders that, like, attack your eye that I cannot help but look at.
Oh, yeah, that's the top card. No ominous meanings there. Excellent. And we also have Alan here, who is playing the character Wayne. Do you want to introduce your character a little bit, just so people know?
Sure.
We may have both of them in on a side scene. We may do a Wayne side scene. Who knows? This is the Wild West. Anything could happen tonight.
Oh, man. And I'm loaded. So the character of Wayne is a guy who he's not 100% certain why, but is convinced, for better or for worse, that his memories have been tampered with. Since returning to the real world from the shadow, he's kind of fallen into a malaise that has quickly turned into a sort of driven, maddening obsession with trying to figure out if he's missing parts of his memories, and more importantly, him being convinced that he is missing a person who is supposed to be in his life. And the frustrating thing for him is he's not even really certain who this person is in relation to him, if it's a romantic person or a good friend or a family member or even like an enemy.
A live-in enemy.
Yes. Yeah. He has no idea. A business partner, a fellow maker who he might have been working on a project with. He has no idea. But he's got little snippets of clues that there was someone there who is no longer there. So he's sort of embarked on this quest and has found himself in a kind of paranoid situation where the only people he's pretty sure he can trust are the other two player characters, and in the case of James's character, mostly because he knows that the two of them were in the shadow at the same time because they were friends in the shadow. The timeline takes you out of having done me wrong.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm sure as soon as you meet Kelvin, who is completely new to actuality, like you'll realize, oh, this person isn't a threat to literally anyone. As he doesn't know up from down here. Because they're interchangeable.
Ooh.
In Calvin's defense, they're pretty interchangeable here.
And so you mentioned that your character is a maker. Mm-hmm. So the kind of magic that you do, do you remember your character sentence?
I'm a Fireheart maker who shepherds minds. Yeah, that's what it is.
Exactly. And our dear Calvin is Calvin Weaver, mm-hmm. Of the Order of Weavers, whose focus is going to be walks the path of suns. So there's a fate that is going to bring Calvin into knowing much more about Invisible Sun and all the places of this reality, and I think he's going to be exploring a lot of cool stuff, which will be fun for us to see. But he doesn't know anything about that yet, because we're going to start off the day that you woke up and escaped Shadow. So in my mind, you're the last person of our three to leave Shadow. That's kind of how I see it.
Okay.
Is that consistent with what you guys thought?
That makes sense to me.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, I absolutely
okay.
should be.
Yeah.
I mean, because I feel like everybody else should be, like, kind of established.
Right, has figured some stuff out.
I kind of feel like Kat's character left Shadow, like, ages ago, too.
Yeah. So, what can you tell me about that day? Like, was it a Thursday?
Yeah, I know for a fact that day was probably a weekday,
mm-hmm.
Because Calvin slept in. He slept in because his boyfriend Jack and he broke up the night previous.
Oh, no.
And you can learn more about that if you get more audio diaries.
Oh,
get
my
on
gosh.
Those shares!
I need to know how they broke up.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, okay.
So, like, just in a funk, he definitely, like, woke up with his alarm for work. It's not that he slept in. He stayed in his bed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his alarm went off and he didn't even like hit the snooze button or stop it. He just let it keep ringing until it stopped, which is a long time.
Excellent. So it kept ringing and it kept ringing. Are you late for work then?
Oh, yes.
You're very late for work.
Extremely.
Oh my goodness, that's great. All right, so something gets you up. You know, at some point, there's something that either irritates you enough to get out of bed or motivates you. And what does your room look like?
I think it's a studio apartment.
It's a studio apartment.
Because I think Calvin lives in a major city.
Mm-hmm.
And because the only one that I've lived in is Chicago, let's just make it Chicago, because it'll be easy.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a studio apartment. I think he's in, like, uptown, but not one of the nicer parts of uptown,
mm-hmm.
in an old building.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the window in his room
yeah.
is very old, and like mm-hmm. you have to prop it up. And mm-hmm. if it's not propped up, it will
down.
Just slide
yep.
down and fall right open, like from the top.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's like that loud thump.
Okay.
As that window opens up and cold air starts blowing in the room, and it's just like the sort of thing where I think he tries to ignore it for a little while
because
he's just so fucking done with everything. But eventually it is too much. It's too cold in the room.
Excellent.
And he's got to get up.
All right. So as Calvin gets up, you know, there's this really bitter wind going by, but it feels kind of hot in your room. I don't know if it's the radiators or you get that weird feeling that's almost feverish, right? Where you feel hot and yet you have these goosebumps, that hot, cold, unsettling feeling. And so you're sort of shivering as that's happening and you're trying to fuss the window back into place because it will just freeze you to death if you do not.
Mm-hmm.
And you see someone in the alley that this looks out onto. And they've got like a jacket on, and they've got dark brown hair, and they're sort of a like feminine looking face that you catch just the side of as it's turning away, and they're holding something in their hand, but they were looking at you when you closed the window, and then they were, like, took off like quick steps going. And that's the moment when you realize that, you know, somebody walking away in the alley is no unusual event, but you remember this woman, and you have a really visceral reaction to her. So she's got red hair.
Okay.
there's planning happening. Oh my goodness. So this red-haired woman with tan skin sort of walks away, and you get this feeling that you definitely know her, but it's as you're sort of staring off in thought that you realize that thunk from the window has kind of continued, but quietly. There's like a rhythmic thumping as though bouncing.
Oh no, my neighbors are having sex.
but it's coming from inside the studio somewhere. And it's not very
big. Sex in your studio?
In my studio apartment. Oh, God. Calvin is cautious. Like, you know, he's yeah. sort of broken out of the trance of, like, seeing that person being like, I feel like I know them or saw them. And then there's, like, thumping coming from somewhere in the apartment. First thing he's going to do is check the bathroom. That's, like, the only closed door.
Right.
Should be the only thing they can't see. Is there, like, something happening in the bathroom?
So this is how development mode things work. Okay. So there's, you know, there's kind of a question. There's some sort of you're seeking something and we want to know what happens with it. There is a whole section of Invisible Sun that is a disclaimer that Invisible Sun, the game, is not magic in reality. Mm-hmm. There is nothing magical about this Sooth deck IRL. But darn it, does it ever get freaky and coincidentally on point sometimes. So unknowable truth is what I've drawn.
Oof.
So I think unknowable? you're about to wake up to a previously unknowable truth, I think, right? So let me pull up what this card does. So there's sort of a like tarot-like reading of it. I think I have some cool ideas. Do we want to get a close-up of this cool
yeah,
card?
Yeah, I'll get a close-up on the unknowable truth card. It's pretty spooky. Got some of that Art Nouveau influence on mm-hmm. it too, which I love. If anybody's got a candelabra like that, holler at me. Very spooky. Of the indigo sun where Saturnine sits, and also the gray sun where the shadow is. Boy, those two overlapping is a pretty great coincidence for the very specific story that we're
right?
telling.
Are you sure that... Wait, what does the disclaimer say again?
It says... it doesn't even say it here in the instructions. It does not, but it is a reminder that Invisible Sun is a game and does not, in fact, have real abilities to divine
that's,
things.
That's
and
one
to
of
know
those
what's...
bullshit secrets that, like, they're hiding
yeah.
in the game.
That's they just put that in there so your religious parents will let
oh,
you play.
No.
Yeah, it seems real fake. That seems like a real fake claim.
Fake news. Okay, unknowable truth. So the general meaning, and so the Sooth deck, by the way, is something that maybe some people who are watching might already have. So it comes with these little instructions. So even though I have the long description, you guys have that. So its meanings are truth, searching, and futility.
Wow.
Whoa.
That's the part I like the best.
It
so,
fits you so much.
Yeah, wow. Good Lord. Okay, yeah, Darcy. All right.
So you find what you're looking for is the happy part. So you go to that bathroom, and I'm imagining like a tight, cramped bathroom with kind of an old style, like, bathtub and one of those sad little faucets up top.
I don't think you can even fit a tub in
yeah.
there. Or if you can fit a tub, it's one of those tubs that's like too short
oh,
to
yeah.
even sit in.
Oh yeah, definitely. That makes sense. And so you hear the bouncing, and it's definitely happening. You think it's in the bathroom. And then you follow it as it moves, like it feels like it's coming from inside the wall. And so you're following it around the wall in your apartment. Like, what would you do at this point? You know that there's this noise that isn't from the neighbors,
yeah.
it's moving. And again, like just like that person you saw in the alley, something's very familiar about this.
Yeah, I think Calvin like follows
reminds you of work.
It through, reminds me of work. He just like has a flash of this call center.
Do you know what this is?
Nuh-uh.
So, yeah, you're having this flashback to call
I
center.
I mean, sure I do. of course I do, but I don't
no,
want to
okay.
say, I don't want to ruin,
oh, yeah,
I don't want to ruin
go.
It.
Let the magic happen. So as you're thinking about what the heck this could be, you start hearing the voice of Wayne was your name in Shadow as well? Or was it different?
I think it was the same. It was
okay.
the same, but I eschew my Shadow last
right,
name.
Right. Mm. So your buddy Wayne, who has been mysteriously missing from work for a while now,
mm-hmm.
You start hearing his voice, and so he's on a call, and Wayne's one of those guys that, like, he's, you know, he really enjoys this job. Not many people do, right? Because this is, like, cold calling, selling stuff that people don't need to people, and really, you really have to be kind of pushy, but Wayne is, like, really good at it, and he enjoys it, and he had this habit of sort of a little, like, rubbery ball thing that he would sort mm-hmm. of play with, and he would, like, throw against the edge of cubicles, or if he had an office, maybe, because you're really good at your job.
Yeah, I got a corner office pretty quick.
Okay, yeah.
But I insisted on still doing the cold calls.
right, exactly. And so you're starting to hear freaking Wayne, who you have not seen forever, doing a cold call. And so, yeah, I mean, are you
Yeah, so it's like, look, buddy, I mean, if you got things to do, you got things to do, but I'm trying to protect you, and I don't need a bunch of other vultures coming in here, calling you up, when I'm trying to give you the deal you're...
Wayne, I spoke to the cops about you. Where are you? Are you... Calvin immediately, like, runs over to the
I get it. You got questions.
Door.
You know, and I got answers for you, man. I'm telling you, there's no one more knowledgeable about this stuff than me.
The front door opens and you're in the office.
He slams the door shut immediately and, like, presses his back against it. And he has to go over and look at his prescription bottles.
Yes.
And, like, he goes, like, they're a big pile of, like, papers and things because they're, like, odd notebooks and things because Calvin is an artist. He likes to draw. And he searches through everything, and he's trying to find, like, the instructions for his medication that his pharmacist printed out.
Right.
And, like, because that should have side effects. Because Calvin has been having weird dreams where he thought he couldn't get to sleep, but then things that, like, couldn't have happened when he was awake. It's sort of like sleep paralysis, where, like, it's a real-world setting, but you're dreaming and impossible things are happening. So he thinks he might be having some sort of daytime hallucination.
Excellent. So as you pull out one of the most recent little prescription bottles, you're looking at it, and it's got one of those, like, fold-back tabs that has, like, more information because it's, you know, lots of fine print. And so you're pulling the tab out, and what you see is a letter addressed to you in really fine script and very flowing, lovely script. And it says, "An invitation to Calvin Weaver. The Society of Bryn are a new cell of weavers. We've heard tell of your great abilities, and we cordially invite you to our party on blah, blah, blah." And there's lots of details of go here and go there. And there's, like, a wax seal in this, like,
on,
like,
this prescription
on this
bottle.
Prescription bottle. And as you, like, kind of let go, it sort of snaps shut again.
Yeah, he's, like, engrossed in reading the letter for a minute, and, like, the wax seal pops up, and, like, when he sort of realizes that, like, all this has been pulled out and he's no longer in the moment, he drops it in surprise, and it snaps back, and it's, like, everything is solid again. And Calvin's like, "I think I need to call my doctor. I need to call my doctor." He's going to go search for a cell phone.
Okay.
It's probably next to his bed, and call his doctor.
Cool. The sound of that ball and the quiet murmuring of your friend.
So will you want me to sign you up for just a year? I mean, that's fine, but, you know, I think it's great to test something for a little while first. And then...
All right. I feel like you calling your pharmacist calls for another turn of the
card.
I feel like this is another thing that we have a question mark about. Okay. So do you want to pull it?
Yes.
Choose your fate.
Cut it and choose your fate and tell me what you get.
Yeah. All right, folks.
So when a noble truth card gets pulled, if it turns out well, the PC learns the truth about something, but it probably raises more questions. So
great.
Which I think this is successfully done.
I think that is handled. All right, so between these two, they popped out of the deck here.
Okay.
Ooh, okay.
What is that?
This is the Conspirator.
Ooh.
It was a Defender.
That's great.
And I think those that are not tagged with Suns are like Major Arcana?
Yep. Yeah, the Conspirator. Its meanings are upheaval, hidden agendas, and gossip, which is interesting.
God, I'm calling my doctor about this medication.
Oh,
boy, what could be happening to
me?
Well, before you can get to that, your doctor has some juicy news for you.
Excellent. All right, so the sort of like the receptionist answers at first. You know, you have to like get through somebody. What are you telling them? What are you explaining to this person?
I'm experiencing some very strange side effects. I just started a brand new medication, and I'm experiencing like really unforeseen side effects that were not explained to me last time I was in this office, I'll point out, and I need to speak to someone immediately.
Oh, goodness. You know, I think, like, you are sufficiently emotive that the person sort of, you know, agrees and sends you up the ladder. So you're hearing the sound of that ball still, and so you're having trouble shutting that out, and the wind is sort of coming in. You weren't fully able to get that window up. So you're chilly, and you're waiting, and there's, what sort of waiting music is there?
It's like, it's something by Wham. It's like, it's Father Figure by George Michael. It's just like real, like crackly, like over the phone, crappy dot wave version of Father Figure just blasting out at you.
Oh goodness!
In this thing.
The discomfort only intensifies. So the pharmacist finally, is it the pharmacist or
I'm
the
calling
doctor?
The doctor.
You're calling the doctor. Okay. The doctor picks up, and you can already tell in her voice that she's a little hesitant about answering, and she says, "Calvin, why don't you calm down and why don't you tell me a little bit about how you're feeling. I'm sure we can sort this out, and there's no need to worry.
Okay. I have been having really strange dreams recently, and I read on the side of the bottle that, like, that's normal or whatever, but I've also been having auditory and visual hallucinations, and I need to know what to do. I need to know if it's safe to stop taking medication, or if I can switch back to the old medication, or we can find something else. And I have a request. I would like those side effects not to have been side effects that are associated with the medication that I'm prescribed.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So I would like confusion.
Yeah. So what weirds you out more is that the doctor doesn't seem to be confused and doesn't really respond to the fact that you're listing symptoms that should not at all have been a part of your regimen.
Well, I think they should be, but I think the doctor doesn't.
Doesn't know?
Yeah. That my theory is that the pharmacist has handed me some sort of bogus sheet that's like, you're supposed to experience these hallucinations.
Cool. I like that.
And I like that, no, you're not. That's not the medication you were prescribed. What are you taking?
Yeah.
What did you get?
Oh, gosh. Okay. So she reacts in part the way you expect. Those symptoms are not at all the experience that anyone I know has had on those medications. Could you tell me which ones you've taken recently? Have you skipped any?
The only one you prescribed me recently. Vislex.
Oh, my God. And there's a long pause. And she says, Calvin, has anything been going on in your life lately that's been troubling you? Is there anything you need to tell me?
I would not be talking to you about this specific medication if I didn't have things in my life that are troubling me. I don't think we have time for all the things that are troubling me.
Well, if that's the case, then why don't we talk about what some of your other options are for purchase, man? I don't want to make you upset, and it kind of seems like I caught you on a bad day.
I am having trouble hearing you over the hallucinations. Doctor, is there anything that we can do? Should I come in?
Switch to a private line if you're having trouble hearing me. I just don't want to lose this conversation. You know, I feel like we're building a real rapport here.
Calvin, I need you to listen to me. I got a call last night that suggested, an anonymous call that suggested you may be fishing for medication from us and maybe not telling us the full truth about your symptoms. There's no shame in it. I understand times can be tough, but are you really experiencing these symptoms?
Oh my God. I mean, you have the transcript from my psychologist. Like, you absolutely know that I'm experiencing these symptoms.
Calvin, it was your...
I will take the bottle in. I will take the bottle in. I will take the unfinished bottle of medication in. I need... And in fact, I don't even care about new medication right now. I need to not be experiencing the hallucinations that I am experiencing on the antidepressant that you gave me.
I would be upset too, but what if I told you that
Wayne,
by switching to
shut
my
up.
Plan...
Shut up, Wayne! I am talking to the doctor!
I'm just saying, we're looking at a 50% change in your deductible if you sign up with me today.
Calvin, why don't you come in for a quick checkup? If you swing by, go down to the first floor pharmacy, turn in your existing medications, and I'll have time to meet with you. I will make time. Please come in today.
Thank you.
All right.
No, thank you.
Poor Calvin.
Oh my God.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's a really rough day.
Poor boy. It's not a good day for him.
So I assume your interest is in going to the office.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm going to do immediately.
Excellent.
I probably do have a couple missed calls from my office.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so far past caring about that right now.
Excellent. I think this is a turn a new suit deck card. Want to pick one?
Oh, hell yeah. Let's go right in the middle here.
How do you normally get to work?
I assume
I'm
you're
hoping
the only
it's
door
like bus.
In the studio.
It's got to be a bus.
That's true. Oh. Or, yeah, you just walk through the magic door that leads.
Yeah, I mean, that would be very convenient. So, a ghostly presence.
Ooh. That's pretty great. Awesome.
Can I see it?
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah, it's pretty gross.
It's gross and also rare.
The meanings are the past, guilt, and unresolved issues.
Ugh.
All right.
Look at the legs. They just trail off into nothing.
What a spooky ghost.
All right, so what do you do right after that call?
Calvin gets dressed. He throws on some jeans, a coat. He gathers, all of the prescription bottles he has. He, pushes them into a single bag.
Mm-hmm.
For him to take out of the house with him. And I don't think he can afford to take, a cab or, a Lyft or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's just going to have to go to the bus stop.
Okay. Excellent. So you go to the bus stop, and first of all, at some point as you're, focusing on just packing your stuff up, the sound of the ball sort of goes away. You don't hear Wayne's voice anymore. And when you go to open the door, it leads out into your hallway mm-hmm. and not into your
Yeah, he was like bracing building. Himself.
Right. So you take the bus, you're getting on the bus, everything's fine. You've got a weird sense of like anticipation, but I think that's all, you know, right and good. So you get on the bus. As you're getting closer to the medical facility where you're, you know, there's the first floor pharmacist and your doctor will be waiting upstairs, you're just getting this increased sense of dread as you go up. And yeah, so you get off the bus and you're in front of sort of this medical facility. Do you just like waltz right in? Is there any prep you're going to do? Is there someone Calvin calls, or is Calvin sort of on a mission?
Well, since our theme is like unresolved issues in the past, I think Calvin is like thinking of calling or doing something on his phone, but mm-hmm. he opens up the phone and the first thing he sees is an unread text message from Jack,
yeah.
which immediately causes him to close the phone down. Okay. He is not contacting anyone, and he is walking right into this place.
Excellent. So, yeah. All right. So you walk straight in. Those sort of automatic doors open, and the pharmacy is on the left. And there's sort of a line to get up to the counter. And it's very bright white and sort of stark, and everything's very calm and pristine, like this little medical facility is. So do you get in line? Do you rush front to the front? How are you? How freaking out are you? You haven't had another hallucination yet. So.
I think it would take like a lot to be happy. I mean, he's hallucinating, but I think it would take a lot for Calvin to like try and push his way past a line. So he is going to wait behind all of the octogenarians or whomever is on this long line.
Absolutely.
Having their Tylenol explained to them.
So you're waiting in this long line, and you're waiting, and you see your friendly local pharmacist. What's their name?
Their name was McPherson. Mm-hmm. And I think that's like the only thing on the name tag.
Right. So McPherson, what does he look like?
Boy, what do we think McPherson looks like? I think they have a mustache.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of jolly demeanor though, or just sort of no nonsense? What are they like?
I think no nonsense. Mm-hmm. I think sort of like mm-hmm. not standoffish, but definitely like stern and firm and very tall.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say extraordinarily tall, and I think they have glasses, like a gold wire rim glasses.
And they're perfectly round.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're absolutely perfectly round.
All right.
So picking up?
Nope.
What's the last name?
The last name is Weaver.
Weaver. Mm-hmm. Just a moment. Yeah, he wanders over to start perusing the, like, there's those, like, mesh wire bins with a bunch of name, like, letters sticking out of them. He goes down to the W's and thumbs around and comes back. It's like, we don't have anything for you today. When was your order placed?
No order has been placed. My doctor works in the facility upstairs, and she's supposed to meet me down here because I think there's something wrong with my current medication.
There's a reflection. You know how there are, like, there's little, like, glass cases in all those little rows that are holding medications? In that glass case, you see a reflection of the face of someone, that woman who you saw in your alley earlier today. But she's got this curly, like, red hair. She's got dark tan skin, and she's got a bunch of freckles. She's got this leather jacket up, and she is going like this. She is indicating, like, stop what you're doing, right? Like, and you can see her saying, please, right? It's very clear. And she goes like this. And you recognize her. You had bumped into her a long time ago.
So, yeah, I think Calvin is an artist, as we've established.
Mm-hmm.
Can he have a sketch of her?
Yes.
From somewhere.
Yes, absolutely. 100%.
Cool. So, like, and I think, like, he goes, like, that's why she's familiar. And I think McPherson is, like, probably still, like, looking at a computer system or something.
Right.
And Calvin, like, pulls out this sketchbook, like, realizing that's where he saw her. And he has this sketch of mm-hmm. her. What do we think it looks like? What moved him to draw this person?
You can add any details you like. But the one thing I will add is her eyelids are down.
Mm-hmm.
She's sort of looking down at something in her hand. She's got a pair of dice that she's flipping.
Chat, do we have any details that you would like to pepper in at this point? We've got a woman whose eyes were not visible, but is looking down at some dice in the sketchbook, which I think would be a striking enough image to cause me, if I were an artist, why does this random person have dice? That's so weird.
Let's see.
Yes. I think when he pulled out his sketchbook, like, he knocked over their bottles of different prescriptions, ooh, like, roll across the counter.
Fur boa is fun.
Yeah.
She butterfly.
She had like a fur, like a
mink. Oh, yeah. Ooh, Matt
Magdell's got their own sooth deck.
Has pulled Misremembered Dream. I like that. I really want to do a Twitch Plays development mode because you could totally do it.
I'm
very tempted not. Try not to go overboard here.
Yeah, I think there was a lot on her hand that he like erased and redrew because details were starting to like run together.
Absolutely.
So he's looking at this image in his notebook and he's looking at this vision in the like glass window between him and the pharmacist, and he like looks behind him to make sure that there's nobody else here.
Mr. Weaver, I said, what did you bring in? What do you have any of the medication on hand?
Yep. Right here.
What do you hand him?
I don't hand him the Vizlex. I don't hand him the Vizlex. Like, I have the Vizlex still in hand, and I hand him, like, whatever prescription that, that he was on a month ago. And he's a super bad liar. So
yeah.
He, like, slides that over in his, like...
Are there pills in it? I'm, like, shaking it.
Yeah.
I compare the date that it was prescribed, and I count out the pills. And I look up and I'm like, or I should say McPherson. McPherson looks up and is like, you should really stick to the dosage prescribed on the bottle, Mr. Weaver.
Right, right. Of course, yeah. I know. I just, I've never experienced a hallucination before, so it was distressing.
Okay. And your doctor's coming down here to meet you?
That's what she said.
Okay. You can wait in the chairs over there by the clinic.
I will.
And Mr. Weaver?
Yes.
Really stick to what the directions on the bottle say.
He is, like, perturbed by that, but he is also not going to say anything.
I love it. So as you look back, like, that reflection of the woman is still there, and she's pointing behind you, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, where the chairs are that he asked you to go sit in, there is a really, really tiny little mouse, and it's sitting and it's looking up at you by one of the legs of the chair.
So that startles Calvin enough to drop the bag,
no!
And all of the pill bottles like spill across the floor.
The mouse looks very startled as well, and like very sorry.
It's Mr. Weaver,
I'm sorry. I was startled. I'm sorry. I apologize. I will gather my things up.
Mm-hmm. Do you need a glass of water, Mr. Weaver?
I will be fine. Thank you. Thank you. He immediately like gets on his knees and starts shoving the pills inside. But like the mouse didn't run away.
Right.
It just like...
It looked startled and then it made a placating gesture.
It made a placating gesture. Oh my God, poor
and
Calvin.
Now it's waiting for you with its one hand sort of held over the other.
Calvin is going...
Are you going to try to just ignore it and sit? Or
he is going to sit directly across from it. Because, like, I don't think he would voluntarily sit next to a mouse on, like, his best day.
That's very fair. Excellent. McPherson is like, very occupied in the back. There's sort of a lot going on, at least back there. You know, he's got a business to run. He can't be dealing with people who are spilling their bags all over the floor.
Nope.
And yeah, so you're sort of waiting. You know, the clock's ticking. Why don't you pull me one more sooth deck card?
All right. Elusive Sleep.
Ooh.
Blue and red.
Elusive Sleep. I like that. That would be a good transition, wouldn't it? Okay, so the meanings of this are futility, worry, stress, but also awareness. So
hey, baby, that's Calvin's brand.
Yeah, we're just... I mean, the sooth deck is just giving us what we're already doing.
I know. We don't need you, sooth deck. That's great. So, so the PC notices something vital.
Ooh.
Okay. So what time of day is it?
I am going to say still before noon.
Okay, still before noon. All right, so there's the windows of this place are sort of facing like east, so you're still getting kind of shadows being cast in from that window. And one thing you've noticed is that McPherson keeps like turning back to the bench thing, and he's like, you know, fussing with stuff and filling someone's order. And everyone else has these kind of long shadows being cast. And his hands have no shadows. Mm-hmm. And part of it's, you know, there's these awful fluorescent lights.
Oh, yeah.
And you're
nothing
sort of,
in a shadow.
But the more you watch him, the more, like, uncanny valley he's turning into. And so that's starting to wig you out. But it's at that moment that you get a little tug on the bottom of your jeans.
Calvin looks down.
Calvin doesn't want to, but looks down. Yeah. And there is little green, like, LED lights, like ping, 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 lighting up a little path from your chair out into the hallway. And the mouse gestures and starts skittering out there.
I can be your father figure. Your tiny hand in my.
Oh no!
Calvin.
What does Calvin do? It's okay. Like, Calvin has the choice to just not engage with that. Also, there are other people walking in. No one is acknowledging the dozen or so lights that have now lit up on the floor in this room.
So Calvin is freaked out for, like, a couple of reasons. Like, he's just been, like, psyching himself up about, like, there are no shadows in here. And, like, it's really, really, really nerve-wracking for him. And now he's seeing this light phenomenon, and he thinks he's seeing, like, a mouse that's not behaving like a mouse would. God, would he just wait for his doctor?
That might be a thing.
I'm trying to make major decisions. You know, no. Calvin walks
if
the path
you're
of,
not sure, Calvin you can
walks
pull
the path, path of suns, though, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's his thing.
Right, so there's got to be some element of Calvin that...
That is curious. But you know what? I like that. Like, making this decision by pulling a sooth deck card. So, pulling it, I get... Holy shit. Darcy?
What?
I'm just going to show this to the stream.
No!
What is it?
Please, I need to see.
Please. It's a card called The Doctor...
What?
Are you kidding
this
me?
This can't be happening.
Jesus.
That disclaimer was such bullshit.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
I'm here to tell you I'm not affiliated with Monty Cook in any way, so I can tell you the fucking truth. This game is magic.
Oh my god.
Wow.
Oh, and it's such a creepy picture too. Have you seen it?
Oh, it's like a plague doctor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So its meanings are wisdom, health, dependence upon others, and disease. God dang. Wow, okay, the doctor.
Ooh, creepy.
Oh my goodness, here we go. I'm just gonna read you the beginning of this. Doctors help, but it's a help we'd rather not need.
That's very true.
Which is very interesting.
So then I think it's the exact halfway point between Calvin waiting for the doctor and going to follow the mouse. Calvin is going to stand up, surreptitiously sort of like follow this green path.
Uh-huh.
And, like, if McPherson, like, looks at him or says anything, he's just going to be like, I've got to go to the bathroom. And he'll walk right through the door. And I feel like that's where he would run into the doctor.
Right. That makes sense. Well, there is a woman who is in these white robes. And it's the doctor that you recognize. Mm-hmm. And she says, Calvin, I'm so glad you're here. Please, walk with me. She's just a little, she's got a weird affectation, but she's already got you by the shoulder and she is dragging you down the hallway and the green lights continue. They continue and they continue until it sort of turns a tight corner. Are you asking her anything or?
Yeah. So I've been hearing the voice of somebody that I was really good friends with who disappeared, and I've been seeing light phenomenon, and I think I saw an animal, and it was so hard to describe. It was like somebody sucked the shadows out of the room that I was just in. I don't feel like I'm in a good place, and I'm sorry if... I know I switch medications a lot, but this is not working for me, and the other medications weren't working for me, and I just need you to believe that there's nothing nefarious behind that. I just want to feel well.
I believe you, Calvin. I do.
Oh, thank God.
The green lights sort of reach the end of a hallway where there's sort of a storage closet, and she says, we have what you need. We'll get you better. You just need to trust me, okay? We're doctors for a reason. We've studied a very long time, and we're ready to help you get better. Okay, Calvin?
Calvin is terrified right now.
The door opens.
Why are you talking like an alien in human skin?
She throws her head back like that and laughs. And she starts pulling the door open, and as the door is opening, like, you know, you see like a shadow sort of cast over her. It looks like she's made of stone. The shadow sort of turns. And what's holding your hand, what's holding your arm, is a stone angel like you'd find in a graveyard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like all that, you know, a little bit of acid rain flecked pox in her skin. But now her smile looks more normal. But it is a stone angel that is pulling you into the doorway.
Oh, he shrieks. He lets out a high-pitched scream. And immediately, like, falls back on the opposite wall.
That is what you try to do.
Yeah, exactly.
As you get pulled into this shimmery, like, milky gray substance. So she pulls you in, then you're falling. You're falling, there's no sense of up or down. All you can see are little undulations and sort of turbulent eddies in this sort of milky gray substance that you're in. And at some point, you're falling. This is really horrifying. I'm very sorry for you, Calvin. This is not my fault. Please don't blame Darcy for this. So as you're going, you start to feel your torso getting pulled at a different rate than the rest of your body. That's very unsettling. And as you're getting pulled, you see there's sort of like a murky image ahead of you. And what you see is sort of like the outline of a vast like mansion, okay? There's like a grounds in front and you can see these sort of, these roofs behind. It's this big like stonish mansion. And that's where your sort of torso is being held. But you see a flash on your right and it's that red-haired woman, but she looks very different. And she's looking at you. Mm-hmm. She's the one you can see clearly. She's sort of gesturing at you. Which way do you want to go? Which way do you try to go? You're being pulled toward that mansion, but you have the but you see something else. Which one do you want to pursue that? You have no real reason to trust her. You just have this memory of her in a sketch.
Yeah. I think, like, if the call is between a building and a person, I think I'm going to go with a person.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Why don't you pull me a Seestat card and see if you are able to... You're struggling even to keep your arms. They're getting pulled off in different directions, too. You're just...
Ew.
You feel yourself, like, struggling to keep it together, Calvin. Keep it together.
And I pull the Questing Knight.
Ooh.
Funny bit of game trivia. This is the card that I almost picked to represent the character, but then went with the golden ship.
Nice. That seems pretty powerful, right? Like, this is a...
This is an apprentice card, so it's like one of the major arcana
equivalents. Right, one of the specials. Also, these cards have value, so in some cases, if you didn't want to, like... do complex divinatory readings, but I don't know why you wouldn't. You can compare values just like a die. So this uses D10s, and the cards have values from 0 to 9. Okay, so its meanings are justice, journey, determination, and achieving goals. Calvin gets his way for once this freaking day. Tell me how you pull yourself out of that direction. So you're a weaver. Are you accessing magic to kind of do it?
I think he has to. Mm-hmm. I think he has to. And let's see. So, like, I'm falling... God, I wish I remember what the threads were right now. So I think he is like falling and he feels himself getting like torn in all these different directions. And so like he reaches a hand out and grabs hold a part of the air.
Yeah.
And like he sort of instinctually like wraps that around his hand. And like that stops him, but he is still getting pulled off in this other direction. So... And I know that this isn't going to be right because, like, there are pre-established themes for these things. But I think the air, you know, has, like, wind and, like, there's an element of power in that. So he's got right there, like, the power of the air. And he's got to weave that together with something else. And he's an air heart. I think he's going to...
Yeah, he's a storm heart,
right? He's a storm heart, yeah.
Lightning?
Okay. So, yeah. He, like, has his phone still on him, and, like, for whatever reason, he's, like, wrapping this air around
the phone. Or is it that recorder?
The way people record things these days,
that's
I think,
true.
Is on their smartphones.
Yeah.
So, but I think he, like, wraps the air around this phone, and that's sort of creating this storm heart effect, and, like, that is the spell that gives him, like, the inner strength that he needs to, like, swing himself away from this weird gravitational force towards this
mansion.
Somewhat familiar figure. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So you swing and that change in momentum, you know, that change in direction still shifts you tumbling this other direction. The woman's face you see gives a little smile and she turns and she's gone and you come tumbling out onto wet cobblestone in the middle of a street. There's all sorts of sounds immediately assault you. There's strange smells going on, the smell of cooked meats and the sound of haggling, and there are lamp posts, and it's sort of an overcast autumn day. But you tumble head over foot onto the street, and you see that there's, like, you catch the edge of that woman's, like, leather coat walking off into the distance. But you find yourself in Sattery. This is Calvin's first day.
Hey.
He looks around.
You just fell down right in front of me, man.
What are you?
It's like basically a rhinoceros in like a really well-cut, fitted three-piece suit with it's like kind of like a brown like professory style with a bow tie. And he's carrying a little, how doctors, old-timey doctors used to carry, like, briefcase. They're not briefcases. Yeah, they're like a little tool case.
Medical bag, yeah.
Yeah. And he's got his right rhinoceros ear is just all piercings, like, all the way around.
Oh, beautiful.
Cool. I think Calvin has been through so many terrifying experiences, and while he was falling, he sort of, like, screamed himself out.
Oh, yeah.
Screams.
Oh, yeah.
So I think he's just like, I'm sorry. I'm just having a really weird day.
There's a tall man with, like, really beautiful, fashionable outfit going on. But instead of a head, he has a large, open book, many pages, who puts a hand on the rhinoceros, and the rhinoceros sort of bows and steps away. And this very well-dressed book person sort of flips through some pages and says in text, and it has a little sort of, like drawing of you and the book person sort of shaking hands, looking happy. It says, Calvin, I'm here to help you. Promise it will be okay right now, and you'll be safe with me. And I think we should end the scene there.
Yeah.
So this is Liberite, or no, it is Liberolite.
Liberolite.
Liberolite, who is a character we established in the first session, like lots of these things. So, yeah, I think that was your first day.
Yeah.
It's very unsettling. It was a hard day for Calvin.
It was a tough day, a tough world to occupy.
Poor baby.
He's going to make a lot more mistakes, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was a delight, and I am going to be tweeting out that segment of cards. But yeah, that's our first development mold. I think I'm hungry for more. Are you guys?
Are you up for one?
I'm down.
Up for
ready,
one?
Yeah.
Okay.